Blog Talk Radio.
Today, A.E. Housman, gay writer, English. Henry Royce, another Englishman, he is the voice in Rolls Royce, the great car. They had some problems there years ago. Robert Frost, the poet associated with the John Kennedy inauguration. Robert Frost was born in 1874 in, guess where? San Francisco. The first president of South Korea, Syngman Rhee, was a prisoner of the Japanese. He was abused by the Japanese. Japan ran Korea. A lot of people don't know that. Syngman Rhee acted like a dictator, like a lot of these guys, and he was forced out. If you went to the grocery store and saw Duncan Hines, well, Duncan Hines was born on this day, and he was a restaurateur. Great German pianist, Wilhelm Bockhaus, born on this day. The founder of the Italian Communist Party, Palermo Togliatti, born. A name associated with Yale when they had some ethics, James Conant. The general who was going to put the coonskin on the wall for LBJ in the Vietnam War, General William Westmoreland. He sued CBS, and I think he lost. another controversial writer, Tennessee Williams, who was also gay, born on this day. Great actor, had a great voice. Started in a lot of good movies, and he used to have a houseboat, or a sailboat here in the San Francisco Bay. Sterling Hayden, his birthday. The first woman on the U.S. Supreme Court. A lot of people don't know that her husband was an Army JAG, but he kind of lost it. He didn't help Steve Marriott. Maybe, his case was brought before the Supreme Court on a pro pair, but it was tampered with, and I don't know if she saw it or not. Because 10,000 cases come up to the U.S. Supreme Court, and they rely on clerks, law clerks, and staff attorneys. And if there's an agenda going on, how can a pro per person know? And this is what's going on. There are 75,000 estimated pro per cases filed in the federal court system. Talk about fantasy. Leonard Nimoy. I was born on this day. A great actor, Alan Arkin, born on this day. Another actor, James Caan, remember him and The Godfather. This terrible woman was born on this day, Nancy Pelosi. And we're going to play, she's been caught in several lies. She is the only daughter of the former mayor, the late and unlimited mayor of Baltimore, a guy named Delisandre. There's some allegations that he might have been connected to the family. But here she is, People, some people think that she's got a mental problem, but you can decide for yourself.
Well, let's just back up from, with all due respect to the speaker, that what he said is not the gospel truth. The fact is that a lot of the spending increases came during the Bush administration, two unpaid-for wars that we got ourselves engaged in, a prescription drug plan that added enormous amounts to our spending, and the tax cuts for the high end that did not create jobs and create revenue coming in. Yes, we had the Recovery Act, which saved or created 3.5 million jobs. You know, the record of job growth in the private sector has been consistent for many record number of months. So it isn't as much a spending problem as it is a priorities, and that's what a budget is, setting priorities.
You talk about growth. Even Christina Romer, the former head of the Council of Economic Advisers for the President, says you increase taxes, that also hurts growth.
Well, it's about timing. It's about timing, and it's about timing as to when you make cuts as well.
But the fiscal cliff, you raised taxes $650 billion right away.
Yeah, and that was a very good thing to do on people making over the high end in our population. Nothing brings more money to the Treasury of the United States than investments in education of the American people. So it is almost a false argument to say we have a spending problem. We have a budget deficit problem that we have to address.
The top 1%.
Right.
Top 1% pay 37% of all federal income taxes. The top 5% pay 59% of all federal taxes. If you took the total income of everyone making more than $1 million a year, if you taxed it all at 100%, that's only $726 billion, which is less than the projected deficit for this year. I mean, the bottom line, Congresswoman, is you can't raise taxes enough to solve the deficit problem.
Nobody is saying that. We're saying it has to be balanced. We avow the First Amendment. We stand with that and say that people have a right to have a gun to protect themselves.
Well, that's Nancy, and of course, there's a notorious picture of her when she had her first communion done at the Vatican, of all places, and she's sticking her tongue out and mocking everybody. Now, Ed Metzke was the first vice presidential candidate of Polish ethnicity. He was governor of Maine. I think he was a senator. He was in New Hampshire when the publisher and editor of the New Hampshire, I think it's Leader, attacked on Muskie. Muskie got pissed off, and he went to the front of the newspaper, and on their steps, he started talking about his wife, and he cried, and that, in this 1972 election, this damaged the candidacy of George McGovern and Muskie. And here is that historical archival excerpt.
By attacking me, by attacking my wife, he has proved himself to be a gutless coward. Maybe I said all I should on that point. It's fortunate for him, he's not on this platform beside me. A good woman.
Now, of course, that damaged Muskie. A man, especially a politician, should not be seen to cry. And I don't think in American history we've seen a political candidate cry during a campaign. Now, among the deaths today, the great Ludwig von Beethoven, and I think we should, his greatest piece of music, and I think we ought to play a little clip from that with George Sell, who was one of the great interpreters of Beethoven and the Cleveland Orchestra. Let's see if I have that little clip here. Anyway, we have, he died very young at 56 in 1827, but his music lives on. Also on this day, we had Cecil Rhodes. You heard of the Rhodes Scholarships. Rhodes was a colonial buccaneer. He abused Africans, did quite a bit of manipulation, and they, of course, they set up a colony for him, Rhodesia, which has been very controversial. And apparently, he died young, and he was buried in Africa, but he did, or his money went to set up Rhodes Scholarships for Americans and others. Bill Clinton got one, I think, to study at Oxford or at a British university. Another Brit born died on this day, the leader of England during World War I, David Lloyd George. He was a Welshman. Great actor and director, Max Offley, died on this day. And then remember the detective novels, Raymond Chandler, born on this day. Another Englishman, but this guy was a traitor. He was part of that homosexual spy ring. Sir Anthony Blunt, he was stripped of his sir when he was the Queen's art advisor, and he was unmasked as one of the members of the communist spy ring during the 30s. And, of course, Edmund Muskie died on this day, first Polish ethnic to run for presidential executive branch. And on this day in England, they took over Bombay Indian. That was the start of the Raj, as it's called, and it lasted until 1948. This is interesting. In 1790, Congress passed the Naturalization Act, which required 2 years residency. In 1910, they changed that to require to bar criminals, anarchists, paupers, and the sick, and then, of course, Asians, like Chinese, the Chinese exclusion. They wanted to keep the Asians out. They used them, the Chinese, to help build the railroads, but they wouldn't let the Chinese bring their women in. Also on this day, we had the guy who invented the plaster that later evolved into manufacturing the Band-Aid. And then we had, get this, in West Virginia, which was split off illegally from Virginia during the American Civil War, in 1873, West Virginia voted to give gradual emancipation to the slaves. In 1878, one of the great law schools in the country, it's really gone downhill, Hastings here in San Francisco, was set up. And then in 1942, Adolf Eichmann, who was the monster for the Nazis to exterminate the Jews. He organized the transportation to Auschwitz and one of the other, I think Treblinka. No, Birkenau, excuse me. And, of course, he fled after the war. He fled to Argentina and changed his name to, I think, Clemens, and is believed to have banked or some of his other fellow Nazis banked at the Bank de Provincia of Buenos Aires, which was connected to Juan Pifre's family. But the Israelis, the Mossad, caught up with Eichmann. He was kidnapped, which was true, from Buenos Aires, and thrown to Israel and put on trial. Given a fair trial, he was convicted. He was hanged. His corpse was burned, and the ashes were taken out to the Mediterranean and dumped. Nobody shed any tears on him. And then in 1945, the Japanese ceased their resistance, their fighting the U.S. Marines on Iwo Jima. And in 1979, getting back to Israel, the peace treaty was signed between Israel and Egypt. Let me see if I can find a Beethoven to honor him. I think it's really important that people recognize that this guy was deaf. He went deaf, and he wrote some of his best music as he was going deaf. And George Zell is one of his great interpreters. Zell was one of those people from Central Europe who came over to the United States and took over the Cleveland Orchestra. Here we go. This is appropriate to honor the great Ludwig. And, of course, during World War II, this was used as his symbol of resistance. I think this is even better. Let's play the Ode to Joy because Beethoven was deaf when he, let's play this first part.
Thank you.
Sorry, started late. We'll be back Friday, and 28th. So have a safe rest of the week. Go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AMICUSRIGS. Good night.